kicking off hour number two of the program here live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. MTNViewChevy.com is the website where you can search their entire inventory and look for the Chevy of the day on our Twitter feed at Fox Sports Knox, home of the low price promise and the number one Chevy dealer in the entire Tennessee Valley. It's Mountain View Chevy, MTNViewChevy.com online. And as you know, it's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. It wouldn't be the NFL draft without quarterbacks at the top being the number one talking point. One of the things that I've always enjoyed about really the NFL draft, it's a little similar to fantasy football culture, I think, is that the people that are on TV talking about, see, a lot of times with regular sports analysts, the people on TV know less than people that don't have to prep and do TV and be pretty and do all that stuff. But you never know that. Like, no one ever really realizes or cares that, you know, that Mac Brown knows nothing about how to analyze football. Because, A,
man,
they go on his...
You've reminded me. Tag this for later. Do we need to do a Mac Brown quote of the week during the football season? Because that guy is gold during the season.
That's a good point.
It's fourth down here. They're trying to decide whether they want to punt or maybe go for it. Let's see what they do. It's like, Mr. Mac, what are you talking about? Sorry, go ahead. Well, Mac Brown quote of the week. Put it on the board, Davey.
TV people.
I wrote it down.
Just making sure.
TV people, like, they care a lot of times more about their credentials than if they're any good or not, first of all.
Their hair.
And then second of all, it doesn't really matter because you tune into a game to see if your team wins or loses. Like the person talking isn't the focal point. Like, it doesn't, it's not a thing. Like,
okay.
So
I'm with you.
It also, there's also no way to know if someone else would be better or worse than said analyst. Like, you don't know that there's a guy named Shane in his basement that could really break down, you know, Texas, Oklahoma better than Mac Brown, because you just, there's no way to grade that. But the NFL draft's a little different, because you can actually say, hey, Mel Kiper, turn in all your picks for the first round and let's see how accurate you are with all your sources and all your knowledge and all your 365-day film breakdown. And then you can compare that to Shane in his basement. And when Shane beats them, you,
basement
can be like,
Shane,
you can be like, what is going on here?
First off, on the Mel Kiper Jr. note, he should not even be at this year's draft, because about 8 years ago, he made a comment saying if Jimmy Clausen was a bust, he would quit. And he had until 8 years. That 8 years has passed. I'm just putting that out there. Mel, time to give it up.
So I enjoy these, you know, draft nit guys, especially ones that, you know, started websites a while back and now have, you know, risen because of actual accuracy and, you know.
Kind of like us.
It's kind of a beautiful thing, you know, the internet allowing the regular man to
wait, so what does
grow.
That have to do with a draft?
Well, I'm getting there.
Okay.
So one of my favorite resources like that is walterfootball.com. They don't pay us. This is not an advertisement.
It should be, because you talk about Walter Football all the time.
Their site looks like garbage. It's got ads all over the place. It's got, like, it's had this old, like, off-color green, like this kind of faded green.
It looks like it was created in 2005, and it hasn't been updated since.
That's probably true. But anyway, Charlie Campbell is their senior draft analyst, Houston. And this is the type of stuff you get if you're a Titans fan. Titans are picking 25 in this year's first round.
They get 25 people?
Picking at number 25.
Oh.
Pretty sure that's what I said. In speaking to a reliable source, it's not. They believe the Titans are targeting outside linebacker, inside linebacker, and defensive line in that order for this pick. Charlie has mocked in this particular draft list Sam Hubbard, defensive end, Ohio State. Get your thoughts on that in a second, Davey. They felt that Rashawn Evans, Harold Landry and Sam Hubbard could be the finalists for this pick. This source told me to lock in Marcus Mariota many months before the 2015 NFL draft. They told me the organization loved Jack Conklin in 2016, and last year they said to mock a receiver at 5 and Adoree Jackson at 18. Therefore, I'm going to listen to this source, even though some other teams have told me that Hubbard and Landry graded as second-rounders. I think Titans general manager John Robinson also would value an inside linebacker later in the draft, as he was part of Tampa Bay landing Quan Alexander in the fourth round of the 2015 NFL draft. Derek Morgan and Brian Arakpo are aging while nearing the end of their contracts, plus Hubbard and Landry are good fits for Mike Vrabel's scheme as well. Hubbard is bigger and a better run defender than Landry. Thus, I think he's the safer pick, and that is also the direction Robinson leans. What do you think, Davey? Sam Hubbard?
It's not a bad analysis. I've seen a lot of drafts saying Harold Landry, but Harold Landry's probably going to go around 15 to 18. He's really moved up. He's the outside linebacker out of Boston College. It will definitely be a front seven guy that the Titans end up drafting. I'm fairly sure of that. I've seen more things that say since Avery Williamson left to go to the Jets that if Rashawn Evans is there, they're going to take Evans. But they definitely need help at the linebacker position, at least as far as adding depth. I don't have a problem with Hubbard. Once you get to the 25th pick, it's a lot harder to kind of know who's going to be left on the board at that point. So obviously the farther down you go in the draft, it's harder to figure out who's going to likely be there. But if Harold Landry is there at 25, they're taking Landry.
There you go. With the way the Titans are structured now, I mean, you basically, positionally, it's, you know, quarterback, it's rush the passer, and then when you get a new head coach who's a defensive guy, a lot of times they want to take a player in the first round that's kind of on their side of the ball so they can start putting their imprint on it. So the Titans pick at 25. I doubt there's a high likelihood of them trading, really. I mean, I guess they could move around, but
if they were, they were to trade down.
Trade down.
They're not going to trade up.
Landry, fast shuttle, 4.19 for the 20-yard. Three cone drill, 6.88. Broad jump, 119 inches.
He's really impressed. I think, like, as soon as
24
college football
reps?
Last, not feeling it.
It's not bad. He's fine. I mean, he's only 252. 24 is not terrible. 4.6, 4.40. Not bad for an edge guy.
I don't think he'll be there. I mean,
if the shuttle time's accurate and the 40's that just tells me he's got a good, quick first step.
Once college football season kind of ended, most of the mock drafts at that point had him going to the Titans. But ever since then, once you go through all the pro days, the combines, he's really moved up a lot of drafts. And I've heard he's done very well in the interview process. So ever since then, he's really been able to kind of help himself out as far as sliding up the board.
I don't know. Hubbard's a year younger, and he's done it at Ohio State. I don't know. Obviously, they're different players, different positions, but it's... Just comparing and contrasting.
Yeah.
That's all. Hubbard's big kid, 6'5", 270. Apparently did not run the 40 at the combine. I obviously haven't seen the number from Ohio State's pro day. Weird that they always have a really good white defensive end at Ohio State. It's like it's a recruiting rule that you got to have either one of the Bosa brothers or somebody else. And they're always in the top. Didn't both Bosas go in the first round?
I thought.
Or the other one's still there. The other one's still
there.
Projecting high. That's right.
Joey went to
San Diego. Yeah. He was way up there. Just strange. I will be honest. Neither of those picks blow my skirt up if I'm a Titans fan. Like, they don't carry with it, like, amazing fanfare. But I don't know that that's what this team needs. You got a lot of excitement last year in the draft, right? You got some faces, some names, some real kind of excitement value. You need to go make your team better this year.
That's the thing, and I'm trying to think back in recent memory, and this is really the first year where it's just like you don't need one position. There's not somebody that you have to plug in and place to start right from the beginning.
That's true.
And like last year, with as we were mentioning, I mean, you needed help at receiver, and you definitely needed help at cornerback. So they addressed those needs in the first round. The year before that, you knew you were going to have to get a tackle, and they initially had the first overall pick. They ended up trading that to Los Angeles, who Los Angeles ended up drafting Jared Goff. And then the year before that, you needed a quarterback, and you ended up going out and getting Marcus Mariota. So even before then, and
yeah,
since John Robinson's taken over,
you've kind of got the pillars now. You've got to fill in, you know, the boring stuff, so to speak, a little bit. I mean, effective, but you've in a way, you've got your star players at a lot of key positions. I think especially offensively now. Go get some guys who can maybe not be flashy, but do the damn job on defense. And I think it's pretty clear Vrabel.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you bring him in, and I think he hired a good offensive staff, but you've brought him in to fix the defense. And hopefully take the offense that you have, retool it to make it fit the personnel, but really kind of overhaul the defense and get them playing, frankly, a way they haven't played in a long time.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, Charlie Campbell's kind of tapping into that with all three of those different options. They'd all be defensive options that would allow Vrabel to kind of start putting his stamp on that side of the football. When we come back, we'll hit the quarterbacks, a lot of quarterbacks at the top of the draft, throughout the first round. Cleveland, of course, picking at 1-4. What do they do? How do these guys stack up? We'll hit that next. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. This segment of the program is brought to you by NutriShop, 107 Moss Grove Boulevard in West Knoxville, right down from Academy Sports. Go see Kyle. Their customer service at NutriShop, unbeatable. Just head in there, tell them what you need, and they'll give you advice. The advice comes free with a purchase from NutriShop. Maybe that should be their new tagline. You can jump on the InBody scan for free as well. They'll help you reach your fitness and health goals at NutriShop here in Knoxville and also in the Mid-State, Cool Springs, Franklin, and Murfreesboro. So you can check out a NutriShop near you. Mock drafts are hard because even if two people that do one have similar thought process, as soon as they start varying picks near the top, it can completely change who's available later. And you can actually almost throw yourself off if you make some weird picks early, because then you end up later in the draft and you're like, well, I'm pretty sure this team wants to do this, but now there's no good player. This draft hasn't gone well for them, so now they're going to have to do this, and then it makes the next one, and just the variability changes obviously quickly with each pending pick. But and it's always funny to me, there is one website that was able to get like 60 some odd experts each year to send in their first round mock drafts, and it doesn't matter. Like if there's a guy you know on TV, he's never any good. Like there's no one on TV is any good at those at predicting who's going to go and really being in the know. Which
you sound like a hater. Just saying.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
What about Adam Schefter? Is Adam Schefter good?
I don't think he plays, but you would think that he would make his guys better, right? Like he's on Mel Kiper's team, right? Todd McShay's team. You'd think that inside information would help those guys kind of win, but he doesn't. Mike Mayock put his stuff in there before. Not very good. Usually it's guys you've never heard of that kind of are more consistent because they actually are just working on this stuff. They don't have to like get ready to do their TV segment type of thing. Anyway, top of the draft, it's the Browns at 1-4. And I thought this was interesting, an interesting take on how Cleveland is trying to decide what to do with those picks. This is from, again, Charlie Campbell. I think the Jets-Colts trade has given the Browns clarity about how to tag team their picks. If the Giants were eyeing a non-quarterback like Saquon Barkley or Quentin Nelson, they would have taken the Jets' 3 second-round picks to move down to 6, as no team would turn down a haul like that unless it was costing them what they viewed as a franchise quarterback. The Jets obviously would want to go as high as they could, so it isn't unreasonable to think that the Giants turned down the trade. That indicates a quarterback will go to both New York teams. Cleveland can take the quarterback of his choice at one while having some confidence that Barkley will make it to pick number four. So Campbell's mock draft has the Browns taking Josh Allen at one and then Saquon Barkley coming back to them at four with quarterbacks Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield going to the Giants and the Jets in that order.
Wait, who won? Allen?
Yes,
Josh Allen out of Wyoming going one, then Sam Darnold to the Giants at two, then Baker Mayfield to the Jets at three. Just three, right out of the gate.
Adam Schefter, just now, breaking. Baker Mayfield definitely in the conversation in Cleveland to be the first overall pick in the draft. Definitely.
I mean, that's like, I'm just picturing a whiteboard in Cleveland's, like, offices.
They're going to take Josh Rosen. It's going to be Rosen. We're all wrong.
They've got a list of, like, nine guys, and somebody said, throw Baker in there. We need it. Let's just make it an even 10. These are the 10 guys. Now get me reports on those 10 guys. And you've got an intern that walks by, and he glances over as a guy writes Baker Mayfield as the 10th option at the number one pick.
Adam, it's me. It's Carly. Baker was on there.
He's in the conversation.
He's definitely in the conversation.
They want to report on how bad his...
It's all smoke screens this time of year anyway.
On Thursday, I say we come in with our top 10 picks, and then we can compare on Friday.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I hate being wrong. I would be so wrong.
I'll put myself out there.
You might as well just do the first round. Just use the NFL... mock draft thing and just do your first round. See how you do.
Play against
the public.
I think there'll be at least two trades in the top 10.
See what percentile you get.
I think the Browns are begging for a trade with all this information. They've now had everybody as their top pick. Like, they are begging someone from spots 2, 3, 5, 6, or 7 to move up and give them more. They're begging for it.
Well, the Jets moved up to 3, like, used everything just to get to 3.
I know. I'm just saying, like, it's almost like Cleveland is saying, maybe if we don't have to make the decision, we can't mess it up. We know we want a quarterback, but if we take the first one and mess it up, we're wrong again. Maybe it really doesn't matter. But if you just take the last guy left, it's like, oh, we just did, you know, we took who we could. I think if they get Barkley, Cleveland fans will be happy. I do think... I mean, I know they need a quarterback. Like, do you think Cleveland fans just want a quarterback and Barkley, or do you think they would rather have a specific quarterback and maybe risk not having Barkley? Like, in a weird way, I don't know that if I'm Cleveland with that many picks in the top four, two picks, I think the quarterback, I don't really care as long as you pair him with Barkley. Right? Am I crazy?
Yeah, I think you are. I think if it's fantasy football or if it's a computer game, what you're saying makes perfect sense. But just take a hang on, take a second. You're in charge of this pick, you, Houston Kress. Let's say it's all up to you. You meet these 4, 5 quarterbacks that could be your guy. Isn't one guy gonna elevate? I mean, aren't you gonna kind of be?
I'm not saying that. I get what you're saying. I understand that if they truly have a guy who they think is the surefire way, then yeah, that's what you do. But it doesn't, like, that's not, it's not Andrew Luck sitting up there right now,
right?
Right? Like, it's not that. It's here's a handful of guys. One, we think all of them could be pretty good, maybe. Which is fine, but if there was a guy who was so far ahead, then I think, yes, then I think it's the opposite. Then I think it's maybe we get Barkley, maybe we don't, but you got to go get Andrew Luck first. But I don't know if that quarterback exists. So I think as long as you pair him with Barkley in this draft, most Cleveland fans will be happy. I'm talking about fans here.
Yeah,
because I don't think there is that, you know, pantheon quarterback in this draft, at least not compared to the others right now.
Because the fans aren't going to know what, you know. Yeah, I mean, what
this quarterback draft class is a 5-year class. Like, we'll know in 5 years. You know, I mean, hell, people thought they should have taken Ryan Leaf over Manning. I mean, how dumb was that? But Andrew Luck, I guess, was, I mean, obviously he hasn't exactly panned out. He's been injured. But all things considered, I don't think the can't-miss quarterback exists in this draft class. I do think Saquon Barkley is a can't-miss running back. Granted, the position is getting devalued by the minute in the NFL, but if you're looking to really revamp the offense, a quarterback, you know, one of the top three here plus him, I think most Cleveland fans will feel pretty good. Is there a quarterback you could take out of those top four? I'll throw Rosen in there too. That fans are mad about. Like, would anything surprise you?
I think Baker Mayfield. And I'm only saying this because Schefter just tweeted it. Because I don't think this is realistic. I think if Cleveland took Baker Mayfield at one, people would flip out.
I agree with that.
Like, because
he's the one.
He's just different than the others,
right? And they did that with Johnny Football when the homeless guy told Jimmy Haslam to draft Johnny Football.
It's not necessarily that Baker Mayfield is better or worse than some of those other guys. He's just the one that doesn't.
In a way,
fit.
It's like you already played that game. So okay, Baker Mayfield's out.
What about Baker at four?
Yeah, because that's what you're asking. What if they go Barkley? If they took Barkley at one, and
I
said, "We'll just take whoever's left at four."
Well, at that point, though,
You'd probably have Allen and Darnold off the board.
Yeah, so then it's between Rosen and Mayfield. Rosen, who everyone says is a horrible cultural fit in Cleveland, and then Mayfield, who is, you know, the short guy who runs around a lot and grabs his crotch, a.k.a. Johnny Football 2.0. That would maybe upset some people.
Ohio State fans have been exposed to Baker Mayfield as well, so.
It's true.
That's funny. The most fascinating thing for me is what does Cleveland, like, if you could be a fly on the wall in all these draft rooms kind of at the same time, what does Cleveland think that they know about what's coming at 2 and 3? Like, to me, that's
what I want to know is are they more worried about getting it right, or are they more worried about getting it wrong? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder. Like, maybe they think one of these guys has a ton of upside. Maybe it's Rosen, for example, right? Rosen, ton of upside, but man, he just might not be the fit. And then I wonder if they would say, well, let's take Sam Darnold. Maybe he doesn't have the arm of Allen, but he doesn't also have the attitude of Rosen. He's the perfect build as compared to Mayfield. Do they kind of split the difference here so as not to make the mistake? Because they're Cleveland?
Maybe.
I mean, I'm just trying to, like, play this all out in my head. And say Cleveland does not go quarterback with that first overall pick. I doubt that'll be the case. But the Giants don't necessarily need a quarterback. I mean, Eli's getting older, but maybe they don't think that their quarterback is in this draft. And I think they're banking. I've seen a lot of mock drafts have it to where the Giants are going to go with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And he's there at number two. So, well, say Barkley's off at one.
I'm with you, but it's also a game, too, because the Giants, if they can get the pick of the quarterback they want, by making Cleveland take Barkley, that's probably what they would do, because they're trying to play the game with each other right now.
I agree.
Which is why Cleveland's saying, "Yeah, Mayfield's on the table."
But
like, I think there's a lot more gamesmanship in this draft than maybe most people kind of understand.
What do you think about this take, though, that the Giants would have taken the Jets' deal if they weren't going to go quarterback? If they weren't going to go quarterback, they would have moved to six and taken that tremendous haul that the Colts got. Why else do you stay at two if you're going to go non-quarterback?
That's a good question. I don't see the Giants wanting Baker at all. I do see the Jets taking Baker if he's available.
So, like, that's the game that the Browns are having to play. Like, how much do they think they know about what the Giants are going to do at two,
right,
and what the Jets will do at three?
In a weird way. Because Cleveland is having to say, well, we want to get both of our guys in the top four, that gives 2 and 3, it gives you a chance to play some games here. Because the Giants can say, no, yeah, we're definitely going to draft Barkley if you don't. But they could really just want free pick of all the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And so if you can kind of trick Cleveland into believing you, they take Barkley, you get your quarterback, the Jets get their quarterback, and then the Browns would be left with, at that point, probably one of either Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen.
And those are the two that we kind of all agree have the not that they don't have the potential, but they've also got the probably the most question marks when it comes to fit in the NFL and certainly at Cleveland.
That's why I kind of agree with Charlie. That's why I think the Browns just have to go quarterback and one. And I think while that might upset fans if they don't get Barkley.
Hypothetically, let's say the Giants then say, oh, yeah, we do want Barkley. Bang. Now we got Barkley. What then does Cleveland do it for if they've got their quarterback and Barkley's gone?
They trade or they go draft Nick Chubb.
Bradley Chubb.
I apologize. You were talking about it earlier and you got me confused.
Buddy, I really thought you meant Nick Chubb there, and I was Davey.
No.
Less vodka in the coffee, please, sir.
Bradley Chubb.
That makes sense. Because that's...
Yeah, I mean, the Browns...
God,
I could see Buffalo maybe trading up to
Chubb
four in that
situation.
Chubb with
Garrett? Do they need another pass rusher?
They need everything,
I mean, don't
man.
Get me wrong. You can always use pass rushers, but like I feel like they... Kind of
well,
are hoping Miles
like,
Garrett becomes the
they'd prefer to trade out in that situation.
What Davey said
I buy that.
Makes the most sense. I mean, they need so much stuff. They're probably not as worried about that than I think a lot, especially a lot of these TV. Saquon Barkley is the be-all, end-all for a lot of these kind of TV folks. I don't think
he's good for TV.
I don't think he's as high on – I don't think – teams in the NFL will be that heartbroken if they miss out on him because there's going to be other guys that they also love.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? Like Saquon Barkley just checks all the boxes, and it's kind of like the Moneyball analogy. Like, yeah, everybody wants the five-tool player in baseball, but if you give me a guy who maybe doesn't play great defense, but he just is a great – but he's great in one of the other four areas, like if he's a great hitter – like, that's almost just as good. Like, I don't – just checking all the boxes isn't always the best player because, you know.
Like, this is really simple for Cleveland, I think. If they know the quarterback they want, they don't need to risk it and play some game. They need to just grab him.
I mean, it's quarterback. You have to.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You can win a lot of games in the NFL with marginal to good running backs. You can lose a lot of games with great running backs. You can't win at a really high level in this league without a great quarterback. And I'm talking, you know, a high, high level. And if that's your goal as a franchise, listen, we know what running backs are doing, again, as far as value in the NFL. If and I don't know who it is, but let's say Cleveland knows Sam Darnold is their guy. You can't, if you're Cleveland, play the game of, well, maybe we can get both, but we're going to have to take Barkley first. But the Giants told us that they like Mayfield, and the Jets told us that they like Rosen, or whatever. You need to go ahead and take your quarterback, which I think is ultimately what they'll do. But it is fun to kind of see the shuffling and the underhanded card dealing going on, because teams, I mean, that's your job right now if you're the Giants, though. Your job is to trick the Browns to taking the running back so that you get the first pick of the quarterback litter. That's what you want, if that's what they want.
Yeah. I feel we're not doing this analysis if it's not the Browns at one. Like everything would probably fall into place a lot easier. It's just with the uncertainty and how they've handled all their drafts over the last several years.
I think that, and I just think that they're 1-4. I think that's pretty unprecedented to have a team pick two in the top five. When's the last time that happened? Do you remember?
No.
Has it ever happened? I don't remember it ever happening. So I think because of that, in a weird way, it does give Cleveland a lot of power. I mean, they're going to get two good players, or you would think. But in a way, it's allowing some other teams to manipulate them, because if Cleveland gets caught trying to be greedy here, that's how you lose your fan base. Like, if they take Barkley and then get stuck with a whiff at quarterback – and maybe Barkley is just kind of good but not great, it's a big problem. Like, Cleveland doesn't need to overthink this. It needs to be the quarterback you want and then whatever's available for best player. If that's Barkley, it's Barkley. Do you guys give any credence to the thought that they might take two quarterbacks?
No, I just can't see it.
No. No.
I'm just saying that's been an article that people have written where should the Browns take two quarterbacks and then work out a deal?
And that's clicks.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. And the reason you ultimately have to take the quarterback first.
Better odds of finding a good one.
Even if you, I mean, even if you told the Cleveland decision makers that they weren't going to get Barkley, that even if they said, "Hey, Barkley's going to be gone at 4. You either take the quarterback you want at 1 and you're going to get someone else at 4, or you can take Barkley at 1 and take the 3rd pick at quarterback." I still think they would take the if your entire job security, like as a person, like mm-hmm. as a general manager, decision maker, whatever, is wrapped up in who you select at quarterback, you're gonna want to make that choice. You're not sure.
I'm with you.
So
I just also know that Cleveland has a greed issue, and I think that there are probably some people in that building, and that it's not unique to Cleveland, that are trying to play the game of how can we get everybody that we want.
Yeah,
and that what would be interesting to me is if somehow it were to happen that they take the quarterback that they had first on the board, but let's say it was close. Let's say it's Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. I mean, they're right there. What then if Allen slipped to 4 so you could get quarterbacks at 1 and 2? And what if it was really close on your board? I just wonder, that would be a very tempting situation for any GM, any head coach, especially Hugh Jackson quarterback guy, to think, wow, we had these guys 1 and 2. We flipped the coin, and it was Sam Darnold. And now our number 2 has fallen to number 4. I mean, it won Philly a Super Bowl to have 2 good quarterbacks. Now, they did just bring in Tyrod Taylor, so they've got a guy that, I don't know, has some experience, has put up some, frankly, really, really good numbers. I think that would be a very interesting, and we wouldn't even know it was playing out. But, man, I would like to be a fly on the wall in the room should that happen.
But what do? You draft both guys. It's like, Mad Men when they announce 2 head of accounts and they see which one does better and they fire the other guy.
I mean, it's quarterback, though. It's quarterback. Maybe they both stink and you look like an idiot. But what if it ends up being the second guy that somehow wins the job? Wouldn't you be glad you took him?
Yeah, but you've wasted a...
I don't think you can waste. You can't say wasted if you're going after quarterbacks, because you have to swing the bat at quarterbacks. You know this. It's the NFL.
I know, but there's on the flip side though. Like some of the quarterbacks that have gone to Cleveland might have been at least good quarterbacks, decent quarterbacks at other places.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying we don't know.
No one to protect and no one to throw the ball to and no one with a clue on the other side. Like you're just done. Like there's no.
But it is the most important position on the field, right?
And if you draft 2, kind of ruin the psyche of both? Like, do you make this a weird situation and both of them do suck because you took 2?
I wouldn't go with that mindset because if you're in that position, you got to draft someone who's got the capability that they want to compete. And having that edge of a competitive nature is going to win you the job in the end is the mindset you have to have if you're that quarterback.
In a perfect world... I mean, it'd be like if you could take 2 players with the number 1 pick. Don't you think they'd take 2 quarterbacks and see which one panned out? You kind of, and this only happens because they're 1 and 4.
Right.
That's why this is even a conversation, because it's never happened before.
You got to remember, too, though, that these guys think they're the smartest guy in the room. They're not going to think, well, when I pick this guy at 1, he's not going to be good. They convince themselves that whoever they pick at 1 is going to be great.
You're right.
And then they're going to want to get somebody at 4 that also either helps the offense or then is kind of their, their cornerstone of the defense renaissance. So that's why it won't happen. It is fun to kind of think about.
Yeah, it's just hypothetical.
Yep. Knoxville Stone Interiors, our newest sponsor here at Fox Sports Knoxville. They're located at 3900 Middlebrook Pike, and you can give them a call at 865-971-5800. It's 8,000 kitchen makeovers for Knoxville Stone Interiors and counting. Granite, quartz, marble, even recycled glass countertops.
I got to see what that looks like.
Me too. Me too. Whatever the surface, they've got the solution at Knoxville's Stone Interiors, a proud woman-owned local small business here in Knoxville. You know, we love our Knoxville businesses here, locally owned and operated. All projects are done turnkey in-house from measure to fabrication to installation. They don't sub out any portion of your project. They'll do a great job for you from start to finish at Knoxville's Stone Interiors. To learn more, to even get an online quote, just head to knoxstoneinteriors.com. That's KnoxStoneInteriors.com. It's Knoxville Stone Interiors, 3900 Middlebrook Pike, and 865-971-5800. We'll come back, final segment, hour number two of the program. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. This final segment of hour number two is brought to you by 245 Tech. FoxSportsKnoxville.com is powered by 245 Tech and secured with their SWAT technology. And they've got you covered for all your web development and app development needs at 245 Tech. Content management, they can help you with that too through WordPress, Craft CMS, Drupal. And SWAT is their safe, secure, and fast way to secure your website at 245 Tech. They're a local company right here in Knoxville, and their secure web attack team is the new standard for website management. They're right here on Kingston Pike. You can just head on over to 245tech.com to get all the details on all the different ways that they can help you with your website presence at 245 Tech. Check them out, locally owned and operated. It's online at 245tech.com. Houston, during the break, you mentioned a Kirk Herbstreit tweet referencing Baker Mayfield. It's
He says, "I in the sky don't lie."
It's kind of a
called him the next Drew Brees.
Kind of a thing right now because Adam Schefter said that he's in the conversation for the number one pick. And I had the question, like, if you're Adam Schefter, once you've kind of made it as the go-to breaking news guy, don't you? He probably gets a lot of fake news sent his way. I wonder how he decides what to run and what not to. I mean, obviously, there's a trust thing. If he's got somebody that's given him good info before, he's probably going to continue to run stuff from that person, from that source, until he gets a, you know, gets a dud that either doesn't come true or, you know, gets, I don't know, maybe shot down by another source that would actually know on that particular topic. But I don't know. I just wonder what it's like to be, because the front end of that job is trying to do all that stuff and get the right info and put it out there. But once you've kind of made it, it's got to kind of change, right? People got to start sending you stuff.
I mean, that's what he does, right? He manages the information in the NFL.
I wonder how he vets it.
But see, like this is what he does too. He an innocuous, just kind of out there. I'm hearing that could be bogus. Like that's not a report. That's a rumor.
Yep.
Which is funny that someone like Adam Schefter would talk about rumors.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting. So it is though part of the game, because I think I don't know how his relationship with, you know, owners and GMs and coaches works. I know that they have to use him to get information, but obviously to get it from him, they have to give him something in return, right? He's just like a mediator in a way, but you know that, yeah, I would imagine a lot of teams, a lot of people try to probably manipulate that relationship to give very, very little and get as much in return from Adam Schefter. That's why, I can only imagine how many phone calls that guy's on each day. He's got three phones on the desk when he does the shows for ESPN. He'll get up in the middle of a segment and take an important phone call so that he can break news. It's a very strange situation. But he's a 100-mile-an-hour kind of guy all the time. Did you see last year they did the feature on him? Like his draft day?
No.
He woke up at like 4 o'clock, ate breakfast, worked out. He's on his phone the whole time, gets to ESPN, doing the pre-show, all that junk. Phone's ringing off the hook. I mean, they just followed him around for a day. He was up like 36 hours the day of the draft, basically. He's an interesting guy, but he's never really wrong, is he?
I don't know. I mean, he's never Jeff Brom'd it,
right? I don't remember a moment where he's been just so completely wrong, and like really put his stamp on it.
No, he'll put disclaimers out there.
Hearing possible, you know, I don't know if he uses the word rumor, but it seems like he'll preface with a good source, great source, executive type guy. I don't know.
Usually once he goes for good, like it's done.
Yeah, it's almost like he's the first person everyone calls when something actually happens. I just don't know. I don't know what the process looks like there.
Yeah.
Does the GM just call him and say, hey, by the way, we released Dez Bryant today. Go ahead and break that. Like, it's in some cases, it's almost like he knows before the players know.
Mm-hmm.
He knows before the coaches know. So I really have no idea who his connections are. But the guy, he's got them all the time. But yeah, I would think absolutely people would try to punk Adam Schefter. But I bet once you punk Adam Schefter, you're off the list. Or on the list. Whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
No one messes with Adam Schefter and lives to tell about it. You're off the calling card at that point. You're off the... You're put on do not disturb. Your account is blocked. He doesn't have time for fake news.
I wonder if he has power now or he can just kind of burn you with other people too. I mean, like if you...
I would imagine.
Like once you
take
him off,
he's a well-liked guy.
Yeah. That would make sense.
But I like this Baker Mayfield thing... Like, he's not saying anything really other than, hey, I've heard this. But this will burn all day long now about Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Herbstreit's already chimed in. They'll probably do an hour on it today on NFL Live on ESPN because, wow, what if the Browns really did take Baker Mayfield at one? Then what happens? So, in a way, is he creating content? Is that all he's doing? Is he faking this to create content for ESPN? Or did he really get that information? Or is somebody just punking him?
Well, again, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if the Browns have been talking about all these quarterbacks for a while, and Baker Mayfield has been kind of a guy that, I mean, you're profiling all these players, and somebody who's profiled Baker Mayfield has gone to somebody at the Browns and said, you know, he is really good. I think he's at least in this tier. And so now they've moved Baker Mayfield into the tier with the guy with whoever else, the other two guys they're considering, for example. And now it's a talking point, but the chances of him actually being the pick, like, it doesn't matter. So, like, Schefter in this case can be right and be creating content all at the same time.
Does that not kind of fly in the face of what you said earlier?
What?
Don't you think they've got their guy? Like, if you're just now moving a quarterback into top pick discussion, is that a good thing?
No, that would be very bad.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because you said, like, they'll convince themselves that their guy is their guy.
Right, yeah.
Isn't it a little late to be changing your guy if you're Cleveland?
Yeah, but, I mean, haven't they even – it's Cleveland, though. So, that I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
they've even changed people
this has to be
who are in this room.
This has to be a game. But I honestly don't know the end game.
Because
you're going to take your quarterback, right? You're going to take him. So I don't get, like, there's no way you're actually moving a quarterback up to the number one spot in your draft board today if you're Cleveland.
True.
The draft is here.
Right.
The draft is here.
Yeah.
You can't be you can be doing that in rounds, you know, 5, 6, 7.
You've
maybe
convinced me. This report's completely bogus.
It's bogus. Yeah. There's no way. Yeah. I'm just playing detective over here. There's no way this is real, but I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Right.
Why would you say this? What are you trying to do?
I don't know.
There's got to be some motive, right? Am I crazy? Is it just to get the did somebody pay to get the Baker Mayfield name in the media today?
Is this just putting an extra hat on the table just so that there's more intrigue when they take Josh
Allen?
Right,
that's what I'm saying. Is this the NFL saying, fan some interest in something? Because this does not make sense.
No, it doesn't. You're right. Like, they've decided by now.
Or have they?
We had a listener say they've been going to Walter football for 10 years. Sites never changed visually, but one of the best in the business. Here's what Walt had to say, different than Charlie Campbell. He does have Josh Allen going to Cleveland at one. Laments that Allen and Darnold are the only two quarterbacks that they have debated here. And also says he doesn't necessarily agree with taking a quarterback first. Because in this mock draft, he has Saquon Barkley going to the Giants second, as Davey pointed out. A lot of other people do as well. And then Baker Mayfield goes third. And then when he gets back to four, because Barkley's off the board, he has Cleveland trading out and the Bills paying the King's ransom to come get Sam Darnold at four. Remember, the Bills have no quarterback.
If Darnold slips to four, Brown's going to get rich getting rid of that pick.
Yeah.
They're going to get rich.
But then his take on the Browns is they move down to 12 and draft a tackle to go with their new quarterback.
That makes sense.
He says this is exactly why the Browns should select Saquon Barkley first overall. It's absolutely mind-boggling as to why they'd risk losing out on the best player in the class when they won't be missing out on one of the top three quarterbacks. I could understand it if they had the first and eighth picks, for example, but numbers 1 and 4 allow them to do the logical thing and go with Barkley and then whichever quarterback is left over. He says he knows that Cleveland likes all three. If they can't trade down from number 4 overall, it'll be a complete disaster.
The Browns and Bills have already made a trade so far this season, and the fact that the Bills sent the Browns Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. So, I mean, that...
We just did a complete circle around what the Browns are going to do.
Line of communications up. And doesn't it make perfect sense that they're still... They probably still are deciding, Houston.
No.
Whatever is the least logical thing, that's probably what... I mean, it's like trying to hire Greg Schiano when Mike Leach will come. Think about it.
Love the draft.